Blog Talk Radio.
Your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I be your host by name, your seer, Israel, of Seer. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery of the Bible, Laying the Foundation, and then we can get back close to them Cherokees again, but we got to lay so much groundwork to get there, to get everybody in order, so when you walk into these names called Indians, African Americans, you be clear what that really means when you see the word African American, Indians, Native Americans, all that kind of stuff. You got to lay a heavy foundation to get there. So like we did earlier, this is going to be a long series because there's so much information that needs to be first locked in and put in writing, where you can go back and review it and step out on the information to make it plainer and say, I got something to add to that. And that's a great thing. We're going to scroll down the international side and see who all join us for this episode, part 15. And then we'll get off into bringing our elder in and let you know we bring this broadcast. But it's so much information that got to be laid out because everything basically is out of order, and we got to get it in order. So properly in six anointed camps, be taking notes, and not just listening, but taking notes to be able to add to the broadcast as it unfolds itself. Because a whole lot of information is going to be revealed, no doubt about it. What's flashing on the international side is all the sloppy fifth, 195 international countries, so that's good. And what's flashing out of New York is 112-799. Got a lot of memos, but we'll just play it by ear, and we'll take them there. We're going to bring our elder in and get things going on, and while we study twisting buttons, trying to get one thing on. And, you know, a wise man told me, get things warmed up before you get at it, because you'll be fumbling all around, and that's exactly what I'm doing again, so. That's okay. It'll be that way sometime, but that don't mean I don't be trying. Like I said, again, sooner or later, the help going to be there and everything going to fall in line. And buddy got to be the help that's, well, matter of fact, we're going to read what kind of help that the Six Anointed Camps are going to be looking for. Matter of fact, I might even look at that. What kind of help that we're going to be looking for in time to come? It's not a bunch of hands, because a bunch of hands will keep you still not getting nothing done. So it's a certain kind of hand, but it's got to be shown through the page of the book. Might touch on that. I don't know. We'll see as it unfolds itself. So y'all probably be through all. We're going to bring our elder in. He'll tell you about who brings his broadcast. 195 international countries, 112-799 is flashing on the international side. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh be there, seen right.
And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. You know, I've been trying to get in where I fit in at, but in the same token, I'm glad I got back up, because that's exactly what'll happen again. When it's time to get stressed out, same thing happened that I tried to avoid, but it didn't happen this time, so I guess I will pass for it next time. A young man told me one time, he said, why don't you just get you a little start at some things a little early, and then and fit things the way it's supposed to be, and you'll be all right. But it didn't happen again. I ain't going to even worry about it. 195 international countries, 112-799 is on the scene, and sooner or later, you will see everything we said unfold itself in grand style. So, Elder, what you got to tell this national audience? I said my piece, so I'm going to grab back and sit back. You on the clock, come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Looks like another outstanding attending audience of 112,799 listeners. And as I always say, that's a good thing. Some people say the more the merrier. But I say that's a good thing. We'll leave it like that. Because we know that many of us came to hear things that most of us can hear. And some listening, they never understand, and that's without proper teaching. And this is what we provide here at Yahweh's Ministry, the proper way to study the Bible, learning how to connect the books. Because we have many people that, well, they open up the book. They say, well, we see things in the Bible, but we find out what they're looking, they can never find. Yeah, they see stuff, but they're looking in the wrong area. Like, sometimes we have to tell people, hey, go to the first book. That's the Genesis. Okay? Now they're off and running. But this also requires proper teaching and patience, which Yahweh teaches us when we're preparing others for this word. It takes a lot of patience, and it takes a lot of willing on the other people's part that's learning to reach out and grab that which is being taught. At this point, knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast that's open to you live. As always, the new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's Word. Connecting the Bible books for your education, your health, and foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. And we do this because you all have not. This is information that you came to seek. And now, you found that what you have sought in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Current time started at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine. Right on that search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After clicking it, you're going to see a big lion. Under that lion, you're going to see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions And on any other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah your kindred to the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures and the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse 9. Somebody told me, well, they don't take notes. Well, what does that say, Mr. Tibbs? Well, for that convenience, we will see what it says. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30. 30 says, and all of the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is Yahuwah's. It is righteous unto Yahuwah. And also, that book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 says, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he lives. 9. As I may say so, Levi, who also received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. We mention this because it keeps this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also, for building the school, banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, check our calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. You'll find out this is the features only available during live broadcast time. To get there, enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live, on the search line. After you click in it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses. The first is Tribe, that's TRIBEYHDH @gmail.com, for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL @gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. We also have a few phone numbers you can write since they call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number where all the people are listening. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international phone number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by anyone the 609 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do this, in the three words, once again, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking in, this time look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Just choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, during the normal Broad Talk broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Pal Talk. Pal Talk will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. This is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics that we discuss will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, writing Shaikah. We'll be taking no comments off topics or any more than two text questions answered at a time. So here to follow the Righteous Act, the Elder will block or restrict misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But remember, the most important thing when you're trying to keep the scriptures in mind Remember, Yahweh is not the author of confusion, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 33 says, Yahweh is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all churches or covenants of the saints. So don't try to win that bump the gums contest when you have someone trying to teach you the Bible, an elder or seer or anyone that's trying to teach you the words of Yahweh. Why? You miss all of Yahweh's glory, which is said unto you. You forget we're rehearsing the righteous act to learn Yahweh's words, as it tells us in the book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So keep these things in mind as you go with our program. Focus on what's being said. Take notes. Pass our program back over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Elder Mr. Tibbs. Excellent. Well, that's excellent. Brother Yahweh Israel, pulling me what Benjamin Franklin said in 1751, and in the Negro and the Negro Question, Part 6, we're going to look at page 15. We're going to look at, I got to lay a little foundation. We got to lay this foundation down so we can not be stumbling around when we see certain things are said. And it's just so much clean up. So, perhaps Yahweh gives the Sixth Anointed Temp a chance to be able to put this thing in order. Then we can really do some cooking. Once we get it in order, get everybody in place. I mean, stand everybody, even like they call it a lineup. Put everybody in the lineup, get behind a two-way mirror, they say, and tell me which one that we is peeping at. So, see, they have done a terrific job on the people of the book. But Yahweh left room for those that he wants to bring this thing out in the way he wanted to be brought out. So we don't say enough on that. So let's go to the five, Brother Yahweh Israel. We'll get something going on. And we're going to lay a little foundation. We're going to lay a little foundation first. That's what we're going to do. We're going to lay a little foundation. We're going to see the children of Israel all over the place. All over the place. And why they all over the place, we'll find out in this series why they all over the place. We out of order everywhere. So when you meet your brother, let's see, we find him on this crowded network. And when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yahweh Israel, lead El teacher out of Camp 1. Yahweh be to that seed royal.
Yahweh bless you, seed royal. Seed royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, brother Yahweh Israel. Oh, Yahweh Israel, before we even get started, there's a couple things I need to have it laid out. First, what did Benjamin Franklin say? What did he say? Now, this is one of the so-called founding fathers. He made a profound statement in 1751. Can you pull up what did he say when he was looking directly at the peoples that were in America? He had them came out of Europe, and he got to Pennsylvania, Penn's place, Pennsylvania. Then he started peeping at the peoples that he was looking at that were already there in 1751. Now what I want to hear, or at least his national need to hear, what did he say he seen in 1751? That's like That's like about maybe close to 250 years ago. What do you see there, Brother Yahya Israel? Can you put, give me anything that Benjamin Franklin, so-called one of the founders of America, followed, they say, that we got graded on, but what he said he seen eyeball to eyeball from Pennsylvania, and we want to just write these names down. Now, six anointed camps, write the names down, and he going to tell you what he was looking at in 1751. Brother Yahya Israel, let's talk about it. Take your time, because we want to lay some foundation down, then we can get some, do a little cooking. Then we'll give some loop after we lay a couple foundation of things down. What did Benjamin Franklin say in 1751? You on the clock, come on.
I'm reading from a historical document entitled Observation Concerning the Increase of Mankind, People and of Countries by Benjamin Franklin. And it reads, page number 8. It says, detaching of English from Britain sent to America will have their places at home so soon supplied and increased so largely here. What should the Palatine boars be suffered to swarm into our settlement by herding together, establish their language, manners to the exclusion of ours? What should Pennsylvania, founded by the English, become a colony of aliens, will surely be so numerous as to Germanize us instead of our Anglifying them. We'll never adopt our language, custom, any more than they can acquire our complexion.
He said the Germans, he said trying to straighten out the Germans, you know, the one that if a German come across your mind, first thing you think about Hitler, and Hitler with the Aryan race, how they was blonde and blue eyes. So in 1751, he said the Germans on the time of 751, he said, it's no even, he said, we cannot straighten them out. It's just like us changing to the colors of the Germans. And Benjamin Franklin was the one that was had to play our skin. So the Germans of 1751 look just like the one you call African American and Negro, the Germans. Now, swing down a little bit lower there, Brother Yahya Israel, and who else? See, make a note in the Six Anointed Camp from 1751 to the dawn of civilization. The Germans, the one that was called Germans, they looked just like African American Negroes. This was Benjamin Franklin said. And who else did he say that looked like African American and Negroes that we can read? Who else that Brother Yahya Israel?
Paragraph 24, which leads me to add one remark, that the number of purely white people in the world proportionately very small. All African is black or twat. Asia chiefly twatty. America exclusive of the new compass. Holy so. And in Europe, the Spaniards, Italians, French, Russians, and Swedes are generally what we call a swatty complexion.
So every name that you name today from 1751 going back to 4004, the migration, they was dark-skinned peoples. Benjamin Franklin says the Germans, the Italians, the Russians, the Swedes, Welsh, Celts, all the peoples of 1751 A.D. was looking just like African American and Negro. In America, in the place you call Europe, and the ones that you call in DNA testing, that over there in British Museum, DNA testing says the first Europeans was Negroes, black African American Negro. So when you say European peoples, see right here, make sure that you say when you come out the ones after 1751 or before 1751, because all of the ones that were before 1751 was Negro looking. All of them look like Negroes. And you know what a Negro look like, right? The Negro. So the DNA testing in the British libraries today, the UK, all they'll tell you, and they've done ancient research on the skulls, and they said the first skull of Europe was Negro skulls. Afterwards, it came white skulls. Afterwards. So now, so make sure you put down a timeline. When people say, well, you European, okay, when did you become a white European? You become a white European after 1751. That's according to the founding fathers called Benjamin Franklin. On the other side, on the right side of 1751, everybody looked like Negro that was in Europe, that was in America. They all looked like Negroes. Majority of them looked like Negroes. Then the migration started coming, and after 1751, that's when the so-called white start getting in place and doing a little jugging. It always has been just a little touch of whites in these countries, but it never been the ones that's running anything until later on. And that's the point we're trying to bring out. Let's bring out one more thing there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Then we'll see where we're going. Let's go to the Negro question. We're going to the book called The Negro Question, Part 6. The 13 Black Colonies by Lee Cummings. We're going to page 15, and we want to lay some out, and this is a fine, fine book to have, because this book right here is a kind of book that you need in your library. When we start getting at some things, on page 15 there, Brother Yahweh Israel, let's see what it says from the top of page 15. And what do you see in that little box on the top part of the box on page 15? Tell us, National Order, what do you see?
I see a portrait of King Charles II. Steward of
Cotton. What do you see? Hold on there, Brother Yahweh Israel. What do you see above that? What do you see in that picture? That picture box. What do you see in the picture box there, Brother Yahweh Israel? That's what I want to know. Look right at the picture box and tell me, what do you see inside the picture box? Come on.
Yeah, I see a picture of King Charles II. Looking like a Negro.
Okay. And do you see the writing that says MUNDICALCO on page 15? Do you also see that?
Yeah, I see the writing, but kind of hard for me to make it out there.
It's hard for you to make it out? See, yeah. I'm not trying to lead you, Brother Yahweh. Yes, I'm just trying to lead you like you can say, look at you, you're leading the witnesses. No. In a little box there on page 15, they got the writing of M-U-N-D-I on it. Then it got This is pertaining to the river, and talking about somebody by the name of C A L C O.
I was on the wrong page. I was on 16. My fault, sir.
Oh, okay. So now we get some look in a minute. But I just want to lay something down. God of that, brother Yahweh Israel. What do you see on page 15 up top in that box?
I see a writing. The writing is MUNDICALCO.
Okay. Now what about it? Let's read a little bit and see what it says about that.
I'm reading from the Negro Question, part number 6 by Lee Cummins, page number 15, and it reads, I would like to take a moment and focus on the pillar that King Charles I's shoe is resting on. The shoe says, Mundi, M-U-N-D-I, Telco, C-A-L-C-O. Mundi was the name of a river in Iberia, or Spain. And Telco was a descendant of Judah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does it say?
You can find the name Telco, C-A-L-C-O, written in 1 Chronicles 2:6. Was your King Charles have Mundi, Telco, written on his effigy? History said that the Gathalias, the son of Calco, the son of Zora, the son of Judah, settled in Hibernia near a river called Mundi.
Mm-hmm.
The plot further thickens when one realized that Gathalias named his son Hiber, being interpreted Hebrew, Habaruah, or Hebrew. Hebrew or Hebrew was the son of Shem, who was the father of all the polluted word Hebrew, Israelites.
Good. Right there. Good. Good. Now, we got something there, brother. Got your help. So we found out that Calco had a son. And his son's name was G-A-T-E-L-E-U-S. His son of Calco. Good. And they was around that river called M-U-N-D-E. Good. And he said that he named his son Eber. That's what he named his son. And that word ended up to being where you get the name called Hebrew from. And he said, now this was around a state where it's around what we call Liberia, what is called Hiberia. And Hiberia is another name for Hebrew going back to Hebrew. And Hebrew is where you get the name called Hiberia, Liberia, or Spain. So all these names coming from Genesis talking about Eber, but as the translators and the tongue changed, that name got into be Hebrew. Iberia is a name that was called Hebrew land, Iberia land, Hiberia, but what they're talking about is a statement that's written over in Genesis, Eber, the name Eber. So that's how it worked its way down to what you call Hebrew Israelites. Now, with just what they were saying, that was Israelites in the land of Eber. That's how you break it down. So when you see Iberia, Liberia, or the land that his grandfather Shem, all you were saying is Iberia, Hibernia. All these words mean the land of the Israelites in Hebrew. There you got, and that word came out of there, can I another word called Nebo and all that, the Nebo people. All this right here is tracing right back to one name, because it made it plain when you migrate from wherever you at, this was the rules of the Bible in 49 verse 10 of Psalm. Here go your rules of the Bible. See, wherever you go, the rules of the Bible stands. And what is that in 49 verse 11 of Psalms? What's the rules of the Bible? Then we'll go from there. 49 verse 11, what it says in Psalms?
The book of Psalms, chapter 49, verse number 11 reads, book of Psalms, chapter 49, verse number 11. Psalm 49, verse 11. Then without is that there are houses that continue forever, that dwell in place to all generations. They call their lands after their own name.
They call their land after their own name. So now when you see where Spain and Portugal is at, the capital of it is Iberia. It comes from Iberia. It comes from the word called H-I-B-E-R-N-I-A. But you trace this word all the way back to 1021. The sons of Eber, Eber's land. And that name became Hebrew land. That name came to be Hebrew, but really it's Eber land, the grandson of Shem. So, and all this over there is what you call in Europe. And King Charles I was over there at a pillar site that, and he called his descendants from Calco. So King Charles I just said that he are a descendant from Calco, C-A-L-C-O. So now he just identified himself who he are. So remember, you always carry your father's name with you. So King Charles I carried his father's name, Calco, and he are descendants of, we'll tell you shortly, after we get us some Luke, chapter 12, verse 12, let's get us some Luke 12, we'll find with Jesus to know where we got the righteous spirit working with us. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. See, remember, this series is about the breakdown, see, right? See, we stand close to the best. The series that we're doing now is about unlocking the mysteries of the Bible, the mystery part of it. So we find out right now, I don't care where you migrate to, you take your father's name with you. And King Charles I, matter of fact, Brother Yahdai Israel, look and tell me, put King Charles I and tell me who was his father, and for the world can peep at the computer at the same time. Who is King Charles I's father? Let's find out who is King Charles I's father. Who is his father? Because he identified they are the ancient Calcos. That's what they say they are. They are the ancient. It was by this rule called M-U-N-D-A. That means that great big river. This was the name that river was before they put all kind of other names on it. And he says he are descendants of C-A-L-C-O. That's what he said he is a descendant of. That means he's a bloodline of these people right here. And this is coming out of the Negro Question Part 6. And you go on your PDF and pull it up. or you get in contact with the six anointed camps, and they all got books waiting on you. You got books, you got your memo. Like the elder said, the lead teacher said, how you gonna be a mechanic and you ain't got no tools? You gotta have your tools, see, right? See, the key to it is you got to have your tools to do this kind of cooking and repairing that we gotta do, this demolition job on this world, how they cook the books up. But now we gonna straighten everything up now. Because right now, all you gotta do, go on your PDF and pull up the Negro Question Part 6, the 13 Black Colonies. That's right. So how could Benjamin Franklin be the founding fathers? And 13 Black Colonies were set up by descendants of Calico, King James, King Charles the First. Now we're gonna find out who is King Charles the First is, and what you got on King Charles the First there, brother Yahdai Israel. Come on.
I'm looking at the Negro Question Part 6, page number 13. There reads,
mm-hmm.
This is an image of Charles the First, son of King James.
The son of King James. Turn to page 13 and look at it real good. Turn to page 13 and look at it real good there, brother Yahdai Israel. And what did he look like to you on page 13?
Look like a Negro to me.
Look like Negro. So
that's
King
right.
Charles the First, and who was his father again?
King James.
King James. You're the one that did you talk about the King James Bible? So, see, you talk about the King James Bible, and you got a pale man up on there. See, the record, see, if you know in the court of law, you remember back in the days when the brother was on trial and O'Furman, they said, if you catch me in one lie, this record from that point on, you throw it out. No good. That's the same thing I'm telling you now, see, right? When you catch him in one lie, but we know we catch the 17 nations, and we just get, not that we get tired of catching them lying, but they are lied on every point. So on page 13, there, Brother Yahdai Israel, look what it says on page 13. Let's look at the two boxes and read a couple lines, because I'm going to get a point out of this, out of a couple lines here. Come on. What do you see?
Looking at the caption on page number 13, it reads, Charles the First, King of Scotland. Charles the First, King of Scotland, Highlander.
The Highland. Now, do you know how they got in the Highland? We're gonna show you later how they got in the Highland. They was in the lower lands too. But that's when the Romans start pushing their way up on them. They come out of Rome about 1,000 miles away, and that's when old Esau started making his move in the 400s. He started making his move on pushing and trying to get in there, and they forced King James, the Scotland, up into the highlands of it, and they held their grounds down there for many years. But in the lower part of it, old Esau and his five sons, the Romans, in the 400s started pushing their way up in there. Good. So that's how they start getting that direction after they got themselves all straightened up in the 400s, you know, start winning a couple of battles, but they had a long way to go because all that was called the Middle Age time. So it was back and forth battles going on from 193 up to the 1700s. They said 1,000 years to 1492, but really up in the 1700s before they really started tightening you up. But now, on page 13, brother, yeah, I want to get me a name here and get worked out on what it says here about King, the image of Charles the First. Let's read about a few lines. We'll bag it down. We'll take it on down to the true royalty, but royalty of of years past. Hey, let me tell you something, Steve Ray. Do you understand? Listen, you got to talk a little more plain. When somebody bringing you about a European, you say, yeah, what European? The European after? What the white European after 1751? Or the one from 1751 back from the dawn of time? The Europeans is black, those Negro. They looked at like Negro because the sons of Japhetic, he was in the land and got whooped over good by, we're going to tell you shortly as time unfolds. But here go your drawing line. 1751, the majority of the people of Europe looked like Negro, the Germans, the Spaniards, the Italians, the Irishmen, the Welsh, the Celts, all of them look like Negroes. And you know what a Negro look like. That's what they look like. The record is when you pull up Benjamin Franklin, one of the so-called forefathers of America. He said, in 1751, he left Europe where the Negroes was at. And when he got to America, it was but Negroes there. Everywhere he looked was Negroes. That's what he said out of his own mouth. And this is the founding father, Benjamin Franklin of 1751. So you got that? So stop saying, what a the white folks is the European. Yeah, but when? After 751. Before 751, everybody, the majority of them was Negro looking. The ones that was in power. The one that made all the legislation. The one that set the laws. King Charles I and five big dignitaries. King James too, all of them. They send big dignitaries over here. They the ones set the 13 colonies. It was five black dignitaries set up the 13 colonies over in America. But guess what they said it was from? They said, we are descendants of Caco. Caco. See, because I get more calls on, well, see if you pronounce his name wrong. So what? His name is C. A-L-C-O. They say they are descendants of him. Man, you got to find out who he is, and we will shortly find out who he is. But let me tell you something. Stop letting the other nations get so much credit on doing some things, and they ain't did nothing but remove your name and put their name in place. And Benjamin Franklin is your whooping stick. Because he said at 1751, everywhere he looked from Europe to America, it was nothing but Swati Negroes. Swati means black. There was Negroes in power. Not just Negroes running around with no clothes on. These were the Negroes in power. These the ones that sent the big dignitaries from Europe to America to set up slavery and everything. You thought slavery was set up? No. They came to hide it and just push it to take it to another level. Slavery was set up by the kings of Europe. And them was all Negro kings. They set up slavery. Yeah, it's in writing. They set up slavery. Because remember, they know who you are. You don't know who nobody is apart from the system of your education. We're going to show you. So we got that part out of the way. Now, so now we find out, what are we reading that, Brother Yacht? Is we reading anything, Brother Yacht, by your
room? Let's read a little bit of this page 13 in the Negro question.
Okay, yeah, give me a little bit more of that. Give me a little bit more of that, because I want to get me a couple lines and expound on a couple lines. It'll read a little bit more. Give me a couple lines. What it says.
I'm reading from the Negro Question, Part 6, page number 13, by Lee Cummins. And it reads, this is an image of Charles I, son of King James, and Anne of Denmark, prior to his beheading. I think this
hold
image
off the... Hold that point. This is the image of Charles I, the son of King, and Anne of Denmark. Do you know what the word Denmark means, Senior Royal? See, now, Denmark means something. You just can't read something and call it a day. Remember, Denmark, it was no vowels. So when you come up with a name, you got to trace the name back to Denmark. That means somebody marked, somebody else marked. Who marked we talking about? Who leaves marks? Who leaves marks everywhere? Let's go to Genesis 49 and find who leaves marks everywhere. See now, Denmark. No, it's somebody else mark. Denmark means something else. So when you look on any of your ancient maps, you see anything start with a D. It's pointing towards somebody else mark. But remember, everybody leaves their name wherever they're going to. Now we're going to Genesis 49 and find out who, what kind of mark we're looking for. That we talking about right now, that's over there in, they over there in Denmark. Now we're gonna find out who is this Denmark, because every name must be traced back to a father's name. You know we read in 49:11. Let's run that down for a minute. It's gonna be a long series, but we're gonna do the 690 camps. Going to be looking to educate the six anointed camp. And we're going to look for some fruit out of the six anointed camp to start saying something. And you got on your paper 1751. So next time you hear a person holler about he a European, you say, yeah, when? You want a European until after 1751. A white European. Because on the other side of 1751, according to your own lookalike said that them was Negroes in power, not just running around everywhere, see, right? Negroes making power decisions. Negroes is the one set up the 13 colonies over here. Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, the founding fathers, that's the biggest lie ever told. Here it is right here. The 13 colonies that were set up over here were set up by black folks, descendants of Caco. King Charles, King James, and his woman beheaded and his brother took over and all that stuff. That's the way it was up to 1751. I mean, you know, I need to hear something good from somebody sooner or later. You know, make your own sin get happy every now and then. Because now we're giving you the tools to work with now. Look at the tools to work with. Put that timeline on the table. 1751. He eyeballed the peoples when he came up out of Europe. He said, I left Negroes over there in power. And I get over here and Negroes still in power. So they have to get to working on you, see, right? And they've been working on you since 1751. You didn't set up the slaves or none of that. The Negroes set up the slave thing. That's if you gave this man more credit than he don't got. I know Christopher Columbus came and got a little handful, but this, remember, telling you, do you know how many peoples you are? Give me a 2460. Let me give you an idea of the number of peoples that you are. And you tell me, how can you enslave and hold all these people down? Do you know the number of you just written? What's written in you in 24 verse 6 of Genesis there, brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse number 60 reads. Genesis 24, verse 60. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let your seed possess the gates of those which hate them.
You were prophesied to be a thousand million. Less than 500 years later, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses that was picked by the Almighty, according to Exodus 7:1. Let's read 7:1. See, Moses was picked by the Almighty. So whatever Moses said out of his mouth, that's the end of it. Look what happened in Exodus 7:1.
The book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse number 1 reads. Book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse number 1. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And Yahweh said unto Moses, they have made thee a Yahweh to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your seer.
So whatever Moses say, you both take it and run with it, because that's the end of it. Moses was instead of Yahweh. You know Yahweh is no liar, and Moses cannot be a liar if he's been set up by Yahweh. Now, what did Moses say in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and what did he say in verse number 10 and 11? We just want to get right down to the point. What did he say in verse 10 and 11? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. What did he say?
The book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 10, verse number 11 reads. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 10. Yahweh, have multiplied you. And behold, you are this day as the star from you. Verse 11. Yahweh, your father, make you a thousand times so many more as you are, and bless you as he had promised you.
He made you a thousand times more than what? 2460, see, right? 500 years later, you more than that now. So how could you entertain slavery? It's too many of you. See, Roya, how can you entertain slavery? They can't come up with the best. They say come up with 2-3 million in the middle class, and maybe that's another 5 million if you want to around. What's that got to do with what this man was saying? This man got the mouth of Yahweh in his mouth. He said, you more than what Rebecca and them was prophesizing at the time he was there. So you understand you've been packed like sardines in every nation upon the sun? I mean, millions of you. So you'll be looking all type of ways because of your disobedience. But when you first came out, you had to look a 9-7 on you. The way you look, before you start messing up and got it and intermixing with other nations, you had a beige color on you and you look just like the Bible tell you look. And you know, I had an article. Let me see. I can't think of the name of this book right here. I think one is one of the big dignitaries somewhere. I'm telling the name of this book. I can't think of what it is. Here's what it says. It says, he said the era of small nations, from about 1200 AD to 800 BC. He says the Hebrews we got in the book. And this book raises a numerous problem for historians, but it doesn't provide proper information for the historians. But it does produce many historians' records. The Bible is far supreme to the many of any ancient writing. The Bible is supreme to the East or the West. The Hebrews originated from the Semitic Shem. That's what Hebrew. The Semitic Shem. Now, I got to figure out what the name of this book is. Where this book comes from. You know, I guess, but that's where it comes from. So we don't say enough on it that, you know, those that like to peck on that computer all the time, they come up with what I'm talking about. So there's letting you know that these Hebrews, really is Eber, and it comes from Shem, the Shemitic peoples. And he said his Bible is more accurate than any other book. And he said his stories, they can't get around that Bible. That's why he got to tell you stay out of the Bible, because you mess them up. Because, see, they use the Bible to do their research anyway. If you ever get able to connect your Bible together, you tie everything in with the data that's coming in with the Bible. You better tie everything in, and you can tell who lying and who ain't lying by knowing your Bible. The Bible's a load on the world. That way I tell you, put that Bible down, because we can't get out of line right with you all in that Bible. I know, that's right. So now you find out the children of Israel, they more than a thousand and me. And the children of Israel is already stated Zechariah 2:6-7. Let's talk about the children of Israel anyway. Let's find out what he is. Let's find out. See, the Bible is basically all you need. I mean, if you become a pretty good teacher and you take the other historical documents and that are enhanced with the Bible, but the Bible is to beat you on the head with. You take the Bible and beat them on the head all day long. Then you take the recorded history, what they don't say out their own mouth behind closed doors, never taught you in school. They never taught you in school who's C-A-L-C-O. They never taught you in school who this guy is. Look at your degrees you got on the wall. You ain't got a clue who this guy is. But we gonna show it, then you'll see it. But you ain't got no degrees on this guy's name. But you should pay a lot of money. You've been paying that money to boy those children's life and get that land, school, and banquet hall going. And then we can really do some good stuff to come. And what was that paper again? Assessment. It says this serious assessment. That's what it is. Where's that? I'm going to find what book that is in a minute. But it's called Serious Assessment. He said this Bible is a load. Once you understand this Bible, see, right, and tie this thing in, you in business. I'll tell you something. You in business. Then you take all the historical documents back you got and tie it in. And then you look at the one that been teaching you. You say, man, this come over here. You ought to slap yourself for lying to me like this. I paid you all this money. You ought to lie to me on every corner. This is serious assessment. Serious assessment. The era of small nations from 1200 A.D. to 1200 B.C. So now you got to find what people you're talking about 1200 B.C. You know the children of Israel came out of Egypt what year? 1453. Why don't you write that down? Children of Israel came out of Egypt in 1453. Do you know that? 1453, when the children of Israel left by there. They was over there for 400 years. But guess what? Somebody left early. And I don't know who left early. Somebody left early. No, they ain't. They didn't. Some left by boat. Who was that left by boat? Do you know who left by boat in that 400 period of time they was in the land? Because when the king said, this is what the king said. And this is chapter 1. Look what the big dignitary says in verse number 7. Exodus chapter 1, Brother Yahweh Israel. What did he say that we can read in 7 down to verse 9? Exodus chapter 1, verse 7 down to verse 9.
The book of Exodus chapter 1, verse number 7 through 9 reads. Book of Exodus chapter 1, verse number 7. And the family of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied. And were exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Verse 8, and there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. He said unto his people, Behold, the people of Israel, behold, the people of the family of Israel are more and mightier than we.
You see that, see, right? So you see that? Now, guess what happened? When that new king rose up that didn't know what Joseph did, they had another, he had two Exodus. You have one when that statement came down. You know, see, understand something. every time some excitement they have is called an escape route. So anytime some excitement goes on and you feel like you could get conquered of something, then you got to have your escape route. Now we're gonna show you that the escape route, you know, let's go take a look at and show you what we're talking about escape route. So you gotta have an escape route. That's right. When things get supposed to always have your plan together, because you know, they say, well, we can go down, but our big dignitaries, we have to make sure they know that they got to have an escape route. That's right, Seabird. You know, you go to school, you got a fire drill that gets you up and walk you outside a couple licks to get you prepared. But they have what's called escape routes. And we want to go and take a look at escape routes going in there, Brother Yahya Israel. Let's see, can we get it where I want to get it? Jeremiah, where I want to get it in the Chronicles book. I think the Chronicles came before Jeremiah, but Jeremiah did put. So I think I want to go to the Chronicle book there, Brother Yahya Israel. And I want to see about an escape route and what happened that we can read in the escape route. So you gotta have a plan, see, right? Let's go to the second book of Chronicles 36 there. And let's read and let's talk about a few things along the way. We're gonna lay it out as Yahweh give it to us, that Brother Yahya Israel. We're gonna lay it out, but I'll tell you one thing. If you study this and stand back, we're talking about the escape route now. Let's go to Second Chronicles 36 and pick up verse 9. Let's see what we all can read together. See, we can tell you a whole lot of good stuff, but we want you to be able to read together. You ain't getting a report that you own it, that you own what we're talking about. We're trying to bring to you. And Second Chronicles 36 there, Brother Yahya Israel, we're talking about escape routes now. We don't left that. Now we're going to escape routes. And that same thing happened in time back in the days. We're going to the 36th chapter and pick with verse 9. What does it say?
Second Chronicles. Mm-hmm. The book of Second Chronicles, chapter 36, verse number 9 reads, Jehoiakim was 80 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 3 months and 10 days in Yahdah, Judah. Salute the word
Jerusalem. Hold that point. Well, it says 8 years, but in another part of the book, you look up, it's 18. He was 18. Because ain't nobody eight years old was still pulling on his mama fringes at 8 years old. So really, in all verses, they tell you 18. He was 18 years old when he started to reign. And what did he do? Now watch what messed him up. See, now watch what messed him up, the same thing that messed you up. See, the same thing that messed you up today is give it and show where it come from, why you always get jacked up. Watch this. Listen to this.
And he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Yahdah, Judah, polluted where Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh.
Hold that point right there. See that? That is the greatest mystery in teaching. That's why we always get jacked up today. We always try to come up another way. And we come up another way, Yahweh gonna jack you up every time. See? You know what you try to do? He reigned, but he done evil in the sight of a four-letter man, YHWH. So how do you think you can continue to do evil in his sight and you got something coming? You can't keep on being doing evil in his sight. You ain't got nothing coming because he ain't already got a king. He done evil in the sight of Yahweh. Do you know Yahweh got Enoch 20 verse 1 on it? Especially somebody is in his leadership position. Do you know he got 20 verse 1? What is that in Enoch 20 verse 1, Brother Yahya Israel?
Book of First Enoch 20, verse number 1. These are the names of the righteous minister spirits who watch.
That's all they do, see, right? They watch you. And you know, they watch you so hard, They even watch you in 2 Kings 6. Do you know, you think they stop watching you when you in public view? I'm out of public view. Okay, good. What do you got for the ones that's out of public view? In 2 Kings 6, verse 12.
The book of 2 Kings 6, verse number 12 reads, and one of his servants said, "Now, my Yahqua, O king, but Elisha, the seer that is in Israel, tell the king of Israel the word that you speak in your bedchamber."
You see that, C. Ray? You remember the brother called himself your past now, Don King. I mean, you know, the Soul Train man. You know, he throw his hand up and he get his lips and soul and all that right there, then go home with somebody look like somebody else. And that's what causes, and that's what happened. He committed suicide. Did you know that? You're the one that guy had the big old soul train. You know, he put his hand up all day long in public. But then he at home, can't get in the house and commit suicide by being with somebody that look like somebody. You see that? So you see, our problems is going to never change. But the answer is, returning back to what you're doing, do the Bible support it? If what you're doing, the Bible support it, then right on. But if you can't continue to do what you're doing in the Bible, of course, the man going to merely say in St. John 7, verse 6, do you know it's written in the Bible in St. John 7? What is written in 7, verse 6?
The book of St. John, chapter 7, verse number 6 reads, book of St. John 7, verse number 6. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready."
And you continue to come up another way, and your time is always ready. But you go to 2 Chronicles 36 and see what happened next in verse 10. So now he done, the king done what's evil in the sight of the four-letter man, YHWH. And what happened next in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 10?
Book of 2 Chronicles 36, verse number 10. When the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the temple of Yahweh, made Zedekiah his brother king over Yahdai Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years. And Yahdai Judah, polluted the word Jerusalem. Verse 12.
Now watch this in 12. Pay attention in 12.
Verse number 12. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, his Yahweh, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the seer, speaking from the mouth of Yahweh.
Ain't that stuff. You hear that? See, Yahweh got all about that. You see, when you know a guy in trouble, He didn't humble himself before Jeremiah the seer. The seer speak from the mouth of Yahweh. Matter of fact, in Daniel 9, verse 2, let me show you what's going on in Daniel 9, verse 2. See, this is what we're trying to tell you. What it says in Daniel 9, verse 2?
The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse number 2. Book of Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse number 2. In the first year of the reign of I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years where the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah, the seer.
How did Jeremiah understand that, brother Yahweh Israel? How did he understand what's going on again, according to what we can read?
I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years.
But you get an inch of a kick and a run, and you understand by sitting on the dock of the bay, huh? And you understand by sitting on the dock of the bay. No, you got to understand by the books, and book is about the Bible. He understood by the Bible exactly his next move. That's how you understand the Bible. If you see what you're doing, the Bible supports it right off. If you see what you're doing is contrary to this Bible, stop it before it's too late. And I watch everybody from the pages of the Bible. I watch in the Bible. I can tell you what you're working with on the page of the Bible, what you're on. Do you hear what he just said? Read that again in 9 verse 2 of Daniel. One more time. This is where your understanding come from. Then you don't get no jerking and kicking around and split. And then all of a sudden you got something. You ain't got nothing but some Satan the devil on you because it don't work like that. This is how it works. Right here, 9 verse 2. Watch this.
The book of Daniel chapter 9. Verse number 2 reads, the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years where the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah the seer.
He understood by books, and guess what the books did for him in verse 22. And when he understood by books, then verse 22 was with him, and what did it say in verse 22?
Verse 22. He informed me and talked with me, said, "Oh, Daniel, and I come forth to give you skill and understanding."
Excellent. Now, let's back up to 2 Kings. Let me show you something about this escape route. See, you got to have an escape route. See, you got to be, if you plan for your escape route, we just got to read that the children of Israel, a new king rose up, and they were down there 400 years. Do you think everybody came out with Moses? You think that? Let's run to 2 Kings 24. Let's go to 2 Kings 24 for a minute. That brother Yahweh died in his rest. So you understand? You gotta put some time in the book. You can't put no time in running a jail jail. You got to put some time in the Bible. You put some time in the Bible, Yahweh will come and suck with you. Huh? In 24th chapter, pick up verse 10. 2 Kings 24, 10 and 3 will be it. Now watch this. We're going to talk about something.
The book of 2 Kings 24. Verse number 10 reads, book of 2 Kings 24, verse 10. At the time, the servants, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Yahdah Judah, southern kingdom, flew to where Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. Verse number 11. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. Verse 12. Jehoiakim, the king of Yahdah Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother, his servants, his prisoners, and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of his reign.
Verse 13. Hold that point. Let me look down a little further. And what happened in verse 18?
Verse number 18. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Yahdah Judah. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. Verse 10.
19 and 20. Verse 19.
He did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. Verse 20. For to the anger of Yahweh came to pass in Yahdah Judah. He had cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon.
So he rebelled against the king of Babylon, but really it was the hand of the Almighty. See, Yahweh sending nations down on you when you don't get Yahweh right. He sent all that drama down on you. That's what you do. You send that drama down on you. Now let's go to the, let's go and take a look. I need a little bit more of that. I want to go to And see, the seer pulled all that verse in the 39th chapter. Well, no, I got to come back to the Second Kings. I need a little bit more because they did something to him, and we read 25. We was in 25, right? Let's come back. Did we read 25? What's that, Bojack Israel?
We just read in 24, chapter 24.
Okay, let's take it to, now we don't build enough drama up. We get to our extinct root. We're gonna tell you about some more after we lay a little foundation. That ain't nothing new up under the sun. Let's pick it up at 22nd Kings 25 verse 1.
The book of 2 Kings 25, verse number 1 reads, "It came to pass at the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Yahdah Judah. He pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about." Verse number 2, "And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah." Verse 3, "Now the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city. There was no bread for the people of the land." Verse 4, "And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went away toward the plain." Verse number 5, "The army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. Now his army was scattered from him." Verse 6.
Good. Read that. That's good enough. So you see, they had an escape route. So you see, the kingdom, they had an escape route. They think they could run. They had already had a little fire drill already ready, and they had run. They had run out. They said, "Look here, if it get hot on you, this is what you do. You take all the, you know, what you need and escape and get up out the side door like the fire drills you have in school." But so happened, this by the hand of Yahweh, he knew you gonna break out running, so he had somebody laying in the wings waiting on you. And what happened in verse 6 and 7?
Verse number 6. 2 Kings 24, verse 6. 2 Kings 25, verse 6. "So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon to Riblah, and they gave him judgment upon him." Verse 7. "They slew the son of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with feathers of brass, and carried him to Babylon."
You see, right? So you see, he tried to run, but Yahweh had his hand on him, and they bound him with feathers of brass. Let's precept there and find what that means, by what it means by they put some feathers on them, like what you got in your bed. It's finally talking about in, going back to 2 Kings, I mean Jeremiah. Let Jeremiah break down exactly what that was that they put you off into in Jeremiah in the 39th chapter. Let's find out exactly what that was that they bound you with. It says feathers or brass, and we're going to go to Jeremiah 39 and take a peek at that and see exactly what he's trying to say. So you think when you get in the hand, they're going to put you off into a, let's see, on a pillar, huh? See, they got you in a pillar. We're going to 39th chapter and see what we can read exactly what that was that you were bound in that we can read. Let's see what we can read, that brother Yahdai Israel. We're going to see what we can read in 39 verse 7. Same event. No, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, just make it sound good. Let's catch him trying to break out running in verse 4. And we find out exactly what happened down in verse 7 that we all can read together. Jeremiah 39, 4 down to verse 7. What happened?
Book of Jeremiah 39. Verse 4 through 7 reads, Book of Jeremiah 39, verse 4. It came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Yahgad Judah, saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls. He went out the way of the plain. Verse 5. But the Chaldees' armies pursued after them, overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. When they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Verse 6. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Yahgad Judah. Verse 7. More we put out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon.
You see they bound him with? But see now this is what I want to talk about now. See, they'll read this verse right here, the best of them. And they say that's this the end of the rule of the kingship rule. See, this is this is where they'll come in at. I ain't putting no name on the day right now, but this is where they come in and say, well, we have no choice but to come down and take it as business because it was all over for this bloodline. So in 39 verse 6, can you read that again there, Brother Yahdai Israel? So now, see, this is where we come in and watch the best of them, and this is where we come in at. And this is why they justify what they do. I ain't gonna put a name on who the day, but this is where they justify themselves at right here in 39 verse 6. Somebody justify themselves from this verse right here. What does it say in 39 verse 6 that Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Jeremiah 39 verse 6. Then the king of Babylon slew the son of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Yahgad Judah.
Mm-hmm. So, I'll read that again in verse 6.
The book of Jeremiah 39, verse number 6. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah and Riblah before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Yahgad Judah.
Mm-hmm. King of Babylon slew his son. The nobles. Did you read where he slew his sons there in verse 6? Do you see where it says he slew his sons? Otherwise, the next one that was in rule, is that there, Brother Yahdai Israel? If we seeing anything where it says he slew his sons?
Yes, sir.
You know. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what do we say about that? He slew his sons.
And Jeremiah 39, verse 6. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah.
You see that? So this was the day. See, you know, they can be anybody, but this is what they used, see, right? They said right here, but see now, since that means that the Judah line of kingship is over. So Nebuchadnezzar thought he had them pull off a fast one, that once they killed up Zedekiah and all his sons, that means was no more heir. Because remember, all kingship is not by election, it's about heir. Whoever the next and bloodline, that's who. And they said, since we on killed up, Nebuchadnezzar was bragging about, well, I'm taking down all of them, then I'm going to take care of Zedekiah's humor. The last thing he going to see is me killing his kids, then putting his eyes out and deliver them up. See ya? So that's what they work with, see, right? But you know what? And another people work with that same ideology. They said, well, you know, the reason why we have to do what we have to do because we knew the bottom line is that some profound statements that was made, and we have to make our move because there was nobody in that proper position to step up. And so that's why we did it. Okay, I'll leave it like that. See, we'll play along with you for a while, and then we'll start tightening things up. So you see, that's why you got to be able to paint the picture, see, right? See, we know how they operate, because the reason why we know how they operate, come on back to Daniel 9, verse 2 again, Brother Yahdai Israel. Just give me half of that. Let me tell you why we know what we're working with. Come back to 9, verse 2 again, or the book of Daniel.
The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse number 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years.
And that's what we do. We tell them all, listen. I heard the elder say in class, elder teaching, he said, yeah, that's pretty good, but we still got to say it's time to get some books open. Let's get some books open. Because this is what it's all about. This is serious business. It's about getting to the books. It's about getting them books open. See, it ain't about where you're going and where you've been. When it comes down to the Sabbath day and the feast day, it's about one thing, getting them books open. We be in a hurry to get the books open, see, right? Because the books will tell what you're working with. We'll see if any growth in you, because we hear you all over the 6th Anointed Camp saying, I got something. But you know the reason why that is a lack of echo? Because you're not studying. See, you study them books, and Yahweh get in place. He have you where you said, I got something. Because that means one thing. You can't say, I got something. And we know the rules and regulation here. If you got something, you won't know what we turn to. And if you going to read, or you going to call a name out to read. See, when you say, so we know one thing. When we hear, I got something, that means you've been studying. You ain't going to look up and say that, well, I got something. Because that's why you see a whole lot of quiet folks. You know why? Because they ain't got nothing. Why? Because they ain't studying. They don't know our books. They all got it by ear. But if you get into an ear conversation, they got it by ear. They can tell you all about it in ear. You know, what I think. Well, it's not about what you think, what the books say. About what you think. What can we read on your thoughts come from this book? Because we know one thing, the record says, the big dignitary says, that that book of day is a load on us. That book kind of catches us at every point. Let's go back to this book again, the Negro question again, because I want to pull out something along the way to pull out something. Go back to the Negro question again, Brother Yahdai Israel. Negro question. I'm going to come back to something. See, I'm going to come back to a lot of lines too, but you got to know how to go in the store and get what you need. Now, on page 3, what did this big dignitary says in 1837, he lived up to 1929? Let's talk about what he said. Let's see what he said there, Brother Yahdai Israel. What did he say on page 3? And give me the top. And we see his face look like Esau and the five sons. And he's a big dignitary. He's going to tell you all about his credentials and everything. And what he says on page 3 from the top, all from the top, he's going to make an observation. What he says, Brother Yahdai Israel, it says chapter 1.
I'm looking at the book entitled The Negro Question, Part 6, by Lee Cummins, page number 1. And it reads, Chapter 1, The Family of King James.
What's next thing you see there?
I see an image of a Professor Boyd.
Okay, good. See his image. and what timeline he got working with, what timeline he working with.
Born 1837 to 1929.
Uh-huh. And what did he say that we all can go on our PDF and follow or get in contact with Six Anointed Council and get one of these books called The Negro Question Part 6, The 13 Black Colonies by Lee Cummings. What did he say?
It reads, British geologists, archaeologists, essay, Our Earliest Ancestors, page 96 and 97. In the year 449 A.D., certain Englishmen came from the North Germany and the southern shores of the Baltic Sea and pushed to Britain and to the name of England westward. By the year 607 A.D., the English had pushed the Britons westward as far as Chester. The English carved out Yorkshire, Chester, southern Lancashire, forming the kingdom of Newtonbury. Professor Ward Dawkins is given the location of the whites in England.
Stop it there. Stop it there. Now, do you hear what he's saying? So now, listen. This right here, this kind of information, is not in none of your school, public, and all that kind of stuff. You got a degree, you take that degree and ball up and kick it in the rear end if you can. This man's saying right here, around about 449, that's when we were talking earlier about the descendants of Esau, the white man and the white woman, they start making their move. They start making their move into a place where we call now, you call Europe now. They start making their move over there around about 449 A.D. Here they come. The professor's saying here they come. They're coming to get into the area where they're already is black, but they're going to mess around and make a couple statements. We'll correct that along the way. But we can see through the muddy waters through the pages of the book. Now, what did he say? The next thing he said, now the whites start making a move around 449 A.D. And see, this is the one that Camilla, if you go on your Google map or look on your map, Rome to the Iberians is about, about 1,000 miles in between right there. So they start making a move. The white man or white woman start making a move toward all of what you call more the big part of the Europe. But you hold on a minute. But you remember, but here's the point. Do you remember who all them lands belongs to that we can read? Huh? You never always be clear that everything in the northern world belongs to a people. Let's go to the Book of Jubilee, find out who he belongs to. Let's see what all that belongs to there first. Okay, let's make sure we're clear. But we don't want you bragging about nobody. Nobody when you understand the truth of the matter is if you brag on people that's headed for destruction, it's up to you. Look what it says in the 48th chapter of the Book of Jubilees, where it says on verse 14, above 14, what it says.
Book of Jubilee, chapter
9, page 48. Let's see what it says above 14, so we'll be clear about it.
The Book of Jubilee, chapter 9, verse 14. Noah's blessing.
Great. 14.
Verse 14, and thus the sons of Noah divided unto their sons in the presence of Noah their father. He bound them all by an oath, imprecating a curse on everyone that sought to seize a portion which had not fallen to them by their lot. Verse 15, they all said, so be it, for themselves and their sons forever throughout their generations, to the day of judgment on which Yahweh shall judge them with a sword and with fire, for all the unclean witness of their errors, when they have filled the earth with sin, uncleanness, fornication, and sin.
Okay, good. Now, we just read that are people, the white race and 449, who are pushing their way up into a land of who? Let's go to page 45 to see what happened. So we got the recorded records that in 449 AD, a white race of people start pushing their way up to where? And on page 45, where it talks about somebody's portion, his name is Japheth. What it says in verse 25, I just want to find out what portion was that they got. Let's look at verse 25. The top of verse 25 says what?
The book of
Jubilees, page 45, verse 25 in the eighth chapter, verse 25, read above 25, it tells about something, what it tells about that we all can read.
The book of Jubilee, chapter 8, verse 25. Japheth's portion, North Asia, land of Shem, Europe, and the five great islands.
Excellent. So the five great islands belongs to Japhetic people. So if you're not a descendant of Japhetic peoples, you got no business over there in the five great islands. So we found out in 449, the white man and the white woman start pushing themselves into Japhetic peoples. And one of these big dignitaries is telling the story. But we know from recorded records, if you in anybody's land, Yahweh is going to punish you and he's going to kill you over again. What's great about knowing that whatever you're going to accomplish, Yahweh is going to wake you up and burn you in the fire. That means nobody's supposed to be in the northern world but Japhetic people. And their fathers made an oath with Noah, their father, from Yahweh the Son. And they signed oath saying, if we leave our land and go to another land, we know for sure that we are upon a curse. And Yahweh said, I'm going to burn you with some fire at the California. So it's no great thing to be bragging about if you find out that anybody over there in the land called Japhetic land, what they call Europe, and I don't care what they became and died there, when Yahweh wake them up, he's going to burn them in the fire, because what he just said in the ninth chapter, if you leave your land, I'm going to burn you in the fire. Now in 449, the white man and the white woman left their land. And what land did they leave? Let's stop it right there and find out what land. It's going to be a long series anyway. Let's find out what land did the white man and the white woman leave. We'll be going in the Bible and find out what land did Yahweh give the white man and the white woman. Let's see what land they give that we can read. Let's go to Genesis 36. Let's find out what land was given to the white man and the white woman that we can read. We're going to Genesis 36. Where am I? Genesis 36. I want to find out. Because when you hear them bragging about, well, we was kings and queens, well, kings and queens, well, what was you king? And then we're going to take care of it. We're going to take care of what we get left. 36, 1 and 9, Brother Yahdai Israel. Oh, my. I can find your book. Is that Genesis 36, 1 and 9?
36, 1 and 8 and
9. Okay, good. Let's see what that say. Let's see what that say, Brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of Genesis 36, verse number 1. Verse number 8 and verse number 9 reads, Book of Genesis 36, verse 1. And these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Verse 8. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Verse 9.
Right. Yep, right.
These are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites. and Mount Seir.
Mm-hmm. Let's find out who gave them that land. Now, we read about the professor, the big dignitary, saying the white man and the white woman start pushing their way up into Gepatic land, which you call now Europe. They're pushing their way up. Let's see the Yahweh person to give them anything that we can read. So let's see if they give them anything that we can read. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 4 and 5. What does it say in verse 2, verse 4 and 5?
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 4. Verse number 5 reads, look at Deuteronomy 2, verse 4. And command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brother, the family of Esau, which dwell in Seir. They shall be afraid of you. Take you good heed unto yourself. Therefore, verse number 5, meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession.
You hear what the Almighty said to the children of Israel? Look, don't even mess with, don't even be bothered with it, because if you do anything in their land, you lose. I've gave Esau, the white man and the white woman, I gave them their possession. Yahweh said, I personally gave them where I want them to be at. If I don't catch them where they to be at, same thing about you. If I don't catch you, where you supposed to be at? Now, Brother O'Shea came behind that, and he precepted that in 24 verse 4. Book of O'Shea, 24 verse 4. Let's see where the second wind is on that in 24 verse 4. O'Shea.
The book of O'Shea. Little word Joshua. Chapter 24, verse number 4, read. The book of Hosea, chapter 24, verse 4. And I gave to Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And I gave unto Esau, Mount Seir.
To do what?
To possess it.
That's right. I gave that man to possess it. That's just the bottom line scene, right? Now let's go back to the big dignitary and what the big dignitary say. Now you're clear. The white man, the white woman got their own land. He gave them that land to possess it. So there ain't nothing going on in the other land. You're supposed to be up in there. Now let's go back to the Negro question, part 6. Go back to verse 3. Now we find out that now they're making their move. Now they in power. They got a couple dollars in their pocket. They got the good killing weapon machines. Let's see they start doing what professor said again in that top line and bottom line. Not the professor, but what he said again, that who did what in the last two lines on page 3 in the middle part of. Professor, what did the professor say there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
In the year 49 AD, certain Englishmen came from North Germany and the southern shores of the Baltic Sea and pushed the Britons, ancient name of England, westward. By the year 607 AD, the English has pushed the Brits westward as far as Chester. The English carved out Yorkshire, Chester, southern Lancashire, forming the kingdom of Nuttenberg. Professor Boyd Dakin is given the location of the whites in England.
So the white man and white woman, they were pushing the Britons up higher than where they was at. They had to push on Britain, see, right? So when you see what's going on in Britain today, in England today, now you got the records. Now, you came over there and you talk that lane. You push them up, and to get your foot in there, you carve you out of space. And what happened next? Now let's see what happened next.
It happened as a Brit belonged to very different races. Britain was inhabited by the Basque from ancient times. They called themselves Roman citizens in their books. Whereas their books, they were called the Britons or Welsh. There are two types of Welsh. One is dark, 5 feet 4 inches. The other is tall and round-headed. The English pushed the dark Welsh, Britain, westward into what Wales, Westmoreland, Highland of Scotland. Cromwell and Devon, Professor Boyd Dacus is given the location of the blacks in England.
So you remember, you're talking about, you know, the wall that was 5 feet 4? I don't know, is that true or not? But he's talking about the Defatted people. See, you know, had long hair. Long hair was talking about you. See, they can't put themselves in there at all. Because they're talking about the native or dark of people that was already there. And it was something like about 5 feet 4. No, that wasn't your ancestors. That was Javadi people. So remember, the land belongs to Javadi people. They was in the land first. It was given to them, to their father from the get-go. They was there. And the professor says, it was a long-haired people there, too. They was dark-skinned. And that was talking about the ones that was, let me show you who they're talking about. Now let's go back to 13. We're gonna be all in this book. Those that got it gonna really, but like I said again, go to your PDF and pull it up. We're gonna be all up in this book. We're gonna let this book right here and connect the Bible with it. But we're gonna go back to now you see when the white woman start coming in that area. Now it's on record around about 449. They start coming down to the area. They start pushing the 5 feet 4 black folks and the long-headed black folks. You know, the long-headed ones, you know, they tell you, go on about your long head. They're talking about you. They just hate to say it all the way. But I'm telling you, enough people that was there. Let's see, can we bring it out. Let's come back to page 13 again at Brother Yahdai Israel. And let's collect 13 and let's read again. So now we got an idea about this, about something. We got an idea about something. Let's read two lines on page 13.
I'm looking at the book, The Negro Question, Part 6, by Lee Cummins, page 13, read. This is an image of Charles I, son of King James of Denmark, prior to his beheading.
Good. And Anne of Denmark. Now let's go back to Genesis again and find out who this Anne of Denmark. The Anne of Denmark is Denmark. So somebody talking about Steve Ray, let us help educate you. Denmark is not the proper name. We're going to find out this Anne of Denmark was, let's go to 49th chapter of Genesis and look at verse 1, 6, and 7. 1, 16, and 17. Genesis 49, verse 1, 16, and 17. Let's do a look. Educating. So you got to have this book, see, right here, and you're going to be able to help, you know, because then you stop feeling so bad about yourself when you know that everything that you're doing now it's not of Yahweh, because Yahweh said if you in anybody's land, your forefathers swore to know their fathers in the hell. So be it, so be it. If we leave our land, we're upon the curse. Now if we just found out the white man and white woman left their land, they're upon the curse, see, right? So all the great things they're doing, either Yahweh right or they right, or you right. I'm going to stick with Yahweh. Let's see about this Denmark right now. Let's go to Genesis 49, verse 1. Denmark. Take them two words and put a little line between the two things and Denmark. Let's see what you're talking about. Genesis 49, verse 1, 16, and 17. What did it say that, Brother Yaakov Israel? Genesis 49, verse 1, 16, and 17.
Book of Genesis 49, verse 1, verse 16, verse 17 reads. Book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 1. And Israel called unto his sons and said, gather yourself together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Verse 16, then shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Verse 17, there shall be a serpent by the way, an aider in the path, that biteth the horse's heel, so that his rider shall fall backwards.
He said, Dan gonna be like a serpent. Now Dan, it gonna be like a snake. Dan, but he's the sons of Israel. Now, what do a snake lead to know when a snake has been in your garden? He always leads. Snake got the only mark. He got the mark. He always leave his mark. Fish in the sand. You see how he curl all up? So that same thing, Dan has got that reputation. So that dim mark is mean Dan's mark. Because you take the vowels out, it wasn't no vowels. How you spell Dan is D-N, not the A. That's Dan mark. So when you read about dim mark, and when you look on any ancient map, when you see anything with D in it, with vowels in it, take the vowels out or whatever, because that is Dan Mark. So that was Dan Mark. So now Dan was over there in the land. Dan is an Israelite. So he was over there too. So I'm talking about the phone. Dan Mark was in there. Dan always leaves Mark. Dan is
come back with Dan.
Yeah, Judges
5:17. Yeah, you kind of muffled that, Seer.
Judges 5:17.
Genesis 5:17.
Yeah, maybe Judges 5:17. Now, I'm back. I'm laying back and counting the blue light because this right here, I can take the picture in my sleep.
The book of Judges. The book of Judges 5, verse 17 reads, Judges 5:17, Gilead abound beyond Jordan. Why did Dan remain in ships? I should continue on the seashore and abound in his breaches.
See, Dan, when you go back in David's days, Solomon's days, David them signed Dan them to help out Canaanites, Haran, and to be part of the ships. So Dan got in with them, then Dan bumped him off. See, Dan is a snake, and he bumped him off. Let's read one more. We'll close out. We'll get back on it some more. We got it going to play in time. So anytime you see, whenever you see the word called, got the D in it, Dan's mark is always, that means Dan's mark, Dan mark. And now I want to pull two more out real quick. Let's get two more. Let's go to Ezekiel 27, verse 1 and 19. Let me show you something about Dan, because Dan is going to be part of a smoking gun too. So when you look on your old map, you see anything got D on it. Dan Mark, all that, Dim Mark and all that kind, that's Dan. That's Dan leaving his mark wherever he at. Let's see what happened over in Ezekiel 27, verse 1 and 19.
The book of Ezekiel 27, verse number 1, verse number 19 reads, Ezekiel 27, verse 1, the word of Yahweh came again unto me saying, verse number 19, Dan also and Javan go unto and fro occupied in thy affairs, right, can see. Tell them mess were in thy, in, within your market.
Dan is always have been in the ships, and once they get in the ships with you, they'll bump you up and take you over. Remember, snake is going to get you sooner or later. That's what Dan is. Dan was a snake for the children of Israel. So wherever you see Dan at, he always look at how can he get on top of whatever circumstance in, because his father said he was a snake. You're going to be like a snake, a poison snake, wherever you at. You ain't going to never do right. That's what he said about Dan. Let's read one more about Dan. And this is what Dan said. Remember, you got to be listening very carefully at the statements that they make. And you're going to understand Dan is everywhere. Dan is going to be one of the smoking guns, too, that going to be everywhere. But we close out in Acts 16:8-9. Acts 16:8-9.
Book of Acts, chapter 16, verse number 8, verse number 9 reads. Acts 16, verse number 8. They passed by Masada, came down to Taurus, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us.
So you see, that's 8 and 9. So you see this word Macedonia, it wasn't no vowel points. You pull that O out there and there go Dan again. That was Dan over there. That was Dan over there in Macedonia. Donia, that's another name for Dan. Macedonia, the Macedonian land was Dan. Dan plays a great part. And he always leaves his mark. So whenever you go on the ancient map and see anything got Dan on it, with D-N or D-O-N, anyway, remember, no vowels, that is Dan over there. So Macedonia, that's Danmark. That's Dan over there. Dan said, come on and help us. Right there. You take that O out, and there go Dan right in there. Dan is going to be in a lot of things for you to look for Dan. And Dan going to play a big role in this thing as we unfold. I understand Dan, but he always leave his mark like a snake. Dan love to put his name everywhere he go. So when you look on ancient maps, you see all the places over there in Japan, land they call Europe. They got all kinds of D's on it. That's Dan. You know why? Because Dan was a trader to whip from ship to ship. He was over there in China. He was on every part of the world. He the one came to America. He came everywhere. You'll learn your trade in the boats and they'll bump you up. You know, you got people like that too. They bump you up. They get close enough to you and bump you up. And that's the nature of Dan. His father told him that in the 49th chapter. You know, you're going to be like a poison snake, Dan. You're going to be, and you all going to leave your mark wherever you go. We'll leave it like that. You know, it's going to be a long series, so we'll leave it like that. Brother Yahdai Israel, we'll close out with that. You on the clock. Come on.
Hallelujah, choir, hallelujah, choir, hallelujah, choir. That's the way it's rolling out there. See Israel, of see right. River came to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah, choir.
Hallelujah, choir. I'm going to bring Ayota back here. Remember one thing. This Negro Question Part 6 book. Very good book for your child to read, your children to read, to make sure they understand one thing, that what we've been told in history is not so. Who self slavery? It wasn't, and who added to it and puts it to a higher degree was the white man and the white woman. No, who put slavery over there in America was the peoples out of Europe, out of England, who set the 13 colonies was one that looked like Negroes. They did it. And it just happened, the sons of Esau take it to another level. They didn't take it to a higher level now. But guess what? We're going to break all that down and show you why that happened too. We're going to, in this series, we're going to break everything down. So if you're taking notes, you're going to learn something. But if you're not taking notes, you ain't going to learn nothing. But we hope it's prayerful that you'll learn something. We'll bring our elder back in, because it's time now for you to take your rightful place. But the only way you're going to be able to do that, you're going to have to do like Daniel said, I understood by books. What he's talking about, understood is by the Bible. You must understand this thing and connect the box, the precepts and the Bible together and get everything on the unfolded like a picture. So we'll bring our elder in for his final thoughts on tape number 15. Elder's tips, you're on the clock tomorrow.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me back until tonight's broadcast. And we welcome and thank all of you for continuing to listen and hope thus far our broadcast has been very educational. I can say for myself personally, each and every time it's a learning experience because we bring out so many topics from the Bible and so much research. It makes us all come to hear those things that most of us listen can hear, and we understand very well. And some listening never can understand. But Yahweh's ministry make all this and more possible. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And most people say, how can they get that much subject out of that one book, King James Bible? It comes from connecting the books of Yahweh's word. We mentioned about your health, foods that you should eat. And all this is mentioned in that one book, keeping the Sabbath days. We do this because this is information that you came to seek. And you found that what you have sought in the voices of the true Israelites. Tribe of Yadah, and we're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday, current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m., and our online class starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we do have a website address. To use this on any search line, enter www.triveyhdh.com. And when you click enter, just under this big line, you're going to see some choices. One of the choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu, but after clicking that, still you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. Also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to the Bible scriptures that I said take notes earlier on in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse 9. Well, this is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh, alive. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. And when you're not sure what the feast days are, it is explained in biblical detail by scripture what they are, when they begin, and when they end. For the live program, this feature is only available during live broadcast time. Enter three words on the search line to get there, Yahweh Radio Live. And when you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We're also using two email addresses. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh@gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject or related topics answered. The other is YHDH, YSRAEL@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. Now, we also have a few numbers you can righteously call with the Aquiline Line. The first is the live conference room number. This is where all our members gather for information. This number is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is the international number where you can call, leave messages on scriptures that you have got questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six Atlantic camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. The program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter Yahuwah Radio Live on the search line. After you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. Just choose the program that you were late or missed. Or actually, at that point, you can choose any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, also during the normal broadcast, we are also simultaneously transmitting our information on Paltalk. On Paltalk, we'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look once again for the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. This is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any on-the-table topics that we discussed will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, writing at Shotgun. We'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. For you to follow the Righteous Act, the Elder will block or restrict the misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But remember, do not try to win the Bump the Gums contest. As I've said before, you will miss all of Yahuwah's glory which is said unto you. So we can continue to hear the glory of Yahuwah's word. I would suggest keep your Bibles open and take notes. I'll pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Yeah, well, okay, that's excellent on your part. Again, we kept you on that other big station. And you know, the most exciting part of this broadcast really is when the mothers come in and plead with you to understand one thing. Time will run out, and they'll speak for themselves shortly. I just want to read a couple of memos, not memos, but historical documents, facts. I'm going to read a couple more. It says, and this book is called Besiedings, P-R-O-S-E-E-D-I-N-G, of the Royal Irish and British Academy, Volume 2, P-O-L-I-T-E-L-I-T-E-R-A-T-U-R-E, and Antiquity, A-N-T-I-Q-U-I-T-I-E-S, Volume 2. They taught the scientists of 1836 to 1839 on page 47. This is what it says on page 47. It says on page 47, the ancient blacks, the Irishmen and Brits, the Irish peoples and Britain peoples was Squatty Aborigines of Europe, Northwest Europe, England, Scotland, Wales, the first blacks, then the whites came. And we read it in 449. The whites came, then another thing on page 53 of the same book is telling you the ancient Vikings is the sons of Danites, the Irishmen, the dark-skinned, woolly-haired Scotlands, the Danes, all these peoples, the Vikings, all these was Danites. Them the one that was traveling and Dan always trying to figure out a way to cut the shelf and put his name there. So when you read about the Vikings of the Bible, I mean not of the Bible, all around Liberia, the Vikings. You know, you got the Vikings coming up. No, the ancient Vikings was Israelites. And who they was? Danites. Danites was the one that is the ancient Vikings, the Danites, the Danes, D-A-N-E-S people, the pirates that robbed everybody, again, that was an Israelite. The Israelites had done some things. Remember, when they got kicked out of their land, remember, come out with 1,000 million. And they were mercenaries. And that's why you catch the Israelites in everybody's war. They was for hire. They had no jobs. They were pushed out of the land. So they'll join in with anybody. They have Nebuchadnezzar taking you down. You got some money, Nebuchadnezzar, when you went down in 586. You keep thinking that the white man and white woman can come in lands that you at and take you down. No. What they do, they send people in look like you to get you halfway tucked down, then they take credit for it. But all you've been a mercenary in every generation. And we're gonna prove it in writing that you've been a mercenary. You've been for hire. And every war event, you've been for hire. You join in whatever it takes after you got kicked out of your land in 722. You've been like mercenaries. 100 million people, they all come get you. They come get somebody look like you. Okay, we're going to prove all that up the road. So never be so quick to say the white man, but the white man has his dollars. He got his dollars, and he put them dollars in your pockets, the mercenary groups, and then you do it down his form. Just like when Leopold did. He got the Moors, one of them, the fed hats on. He got them to locate you. That was Israelites too. What is it? There he is right there. We'll shoot him up with the pistol, and then y'all take the whips and beat your back down. One with the fed hats on with the string hanging down your head. That's what a Leopold used out of Belgium. He used you to whoop their backs. He paid you to whoop people that like you back. As I say, you got two type of people. Covenant keepers and non-covenant keepers. The one that non-covenant keepers will beat your back. What can stop them from beating your back? They ain't keeping the covenant. It's the only thing that will make you feel comfortable when you're around a covenant keeper, a non-covenant keeper, because he look like you, that's going to be the one that beat your back. It ain't about black and white. It's about covenant keeping and non-covenant keeping. So if you ain't keeping the covenant, you'll beat the back to the one that's keeping the covenant. That's what it is. We're going to find out Moses and Moses out of Camp 1 is going to get in the microphone and they're going to talk to you. And this is the best part of the broadcast anyway, for I'm concerned, is bring the mothers in and let the mother talk to you about doing one thing. Get your act together. Well, time went out on you. Become humble. Become humble in these broadcasts. And the mothers, the three mothers come, and that means serious. Tell you, get your act in order. So go and find Mother Z and bring her in and see what you got to tell this national audience. So we meet the mothers out of Camp 1 with a loud voice, you say. Mother Z out of tribe of Yahdad Judah. Mother Z, got my BJC right.
Yeah, well, I'm best in town. Yeah, it's Bella. Why it's Bella.
Hallelujah, Father. Mosey, we got a big old national audience. And we're trying our best to get us a blessing. And how we get our blessing is by telling the truth that come out of her and come away from all that other stuff that they're doing and be a covenant keeper. Because if you're not a covenant keeper, you're going to lose, no doubt about it. So whatever you got to say that he put on you to tell his national audience, I mean, it's packed here. Take your time and the floor is yours. And take your time, Mother Z. You on the clock. Come on.
Well, hold on.
I think maybe the microphones are too close together or something, because right now we can't breaking up a little bit. And I want this national order to hear you real plainly. So any kind of adjustment you can make, and right now we're getting feedback coming from all angles. So whatever you got to do to make adjustment on it, got to be great. And come back and take your time. Got plenty of time. Take your time and tell this national order what the Almighty has put on you to tell them. Mother Z, you're on the clock again. Come on.
I would just like to say to the national audience, I'm just going to read Psalms chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Verse 1, the foolish have said in their mind, there is no Yahweh. They are corrupt. They have done abominable work. There is none that do good. Verse 2 reads, the Yahweh looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand and seek the Yahweh. Verse 3, they are all gone astray. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that do good, no, not one. Verse 4, having all the work of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call upon the Yahweh. Verse 5, Yahweh is in the generation of the righteousness. Verse 6, he have shamed the poor of the poor because the Yahweh is his refuge. Verse 7, oh that the salvation of Israel was come out of Yahweh Judah's southern kingdom, when the Yahweh brought back the captive of his people, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Well, I understand that verse to be talking about, you know, there is people that do say that there is no Yahweh, you know. I don't know who made all this stuff. If there ain't no Yahweh, who did all this and made everything and everybody? And, you know, they are corrupt. They don't understand, and they don't, you know, they don't want to do good, some of them. They just want to continue doing what they're doing. Because one of my nieces told me, she said, don't tell me anything because I ain't ready to change what I'm doing. They don't want to hear what thus said this word. And I just like to tell our national audience that we all should be seeking him while we have a chance, because none of us know when our day going to come. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, that's right. We don't know. That's why we come humble to help those that got ear to hear. We come humble to help those that got an ear to hear. And so that's what we got to do, come to the one that got an ear to hear. And if we got an ear to hear, we're here for you. But one thing, like you said, Mother, the time is going to run out, and they're going to be trying to knock on something to get in. You're going to say, no, it's too late. When you was told to make a decision according to this Bible, and it is a Yahweh. I'm the Yahweh of the beginning. I'm going to be the Yahweh of the end. So that's the way it's going to be. All right, that's Mother Z. Now we're going to see if we find what Mother E got to say. We're going to see if we find Mother E and see what she got to say to this national audience and find Mother E. And when you meet the mothers out of Camp One with a loud voice, you say, Mother E, tribe of Yahdah Judah, Yahweh be there, see right.
Yahweh bless you, Israel, or see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Mother E. Now, Mother E, you know, this national organization, they always packed in everywhere. And somebody got to be a calm voice to tell them that whatever you put on you, tell them. But we come humble. We here to help. That's why we trying to bring this information to them that they all can read together. But whatever the Almighty wants you to tell this national audience, to take your time. Got plenty of time. You on the clock. Come on.
Okay. I'm reading in Matthew. It's talking about no man knows the day. So I'm reading in Matthew 24, verse 36 to 51. So what I'm reading about when the song come back, verse 36, but if that day, what of that day and hour, no man knows not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the day of Noah was, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 38. For as in the day that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marriage and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39. And Noah not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be also so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and shall be taken, and the one taken, and the other one left. Verse 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other one left. Verse 42. Whether therefore, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Yahweh do come. 43. But know this, that if the Yahweh, the man of the hour, has known in the, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. 44. Therefore, by you also ready for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who is Yahweh has made ruler over his household to give them meat and due season? 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Yahweh, when he comes, shall find also doing. Truly, very truly, I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. 48. But and if thy evil servant shall say in his mind, my Yahweh delayed his coming. 49. And shall begin to smite his fellow servant and to eat and to drink the drunkard. Verse 50. The Yahweh of the servant comes in a day when he looked not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. 51. And shall cut him a sudden and upon him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, I was saying in there that we don't know when the Son of Man coming back, but we got to be ready. We got to stay ready. We can't start and stop, because if we start and stop, he might come while we don't stop. So we got to keep on going. We can't start and stop. We got to keep on going forward. Because mm-hmm. if the Son of Man ain't come back and we not doing what we supposed to be doing, keeping his word and doing other things, well, we're going to be just like in verse 51, it said, and shall cut him a sudden and upon him his hypocrite, with the hypocrite there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So when we don't keep watching, you know, keep going to the class and doing what he said do, not stop going, you know, because if we stop, we don't know if he's coming back while we stopped or not. But we got to keep going every day. Every Sabbath, we got to be in class. We got to keep on going, because we don't know when the Son of Man is coming back. And if we know when he's coming back, you know, it would be a different thing. So we might have a chance to get ready. But we don't know when he's coming back. So the Bible didn't tell us we might have a chance to get ready. So we better try to stay ready, because when he come back, he ain't going to tarry. When he come back, he going to come just like he said he going to come. And if we going to be doing what he said, we going to be left here lost and ain't going to have no part in him, because we ain't doing the thing that he said to. Just like when the flood come, they were doing everything but watching for the flood. And Noah was preaching and telling them about the flood coming, but they weren't paying it no attention. So we are being taught now to get ready, because he is coming back. Some of us ain't paying it no attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's Maureen. And that was excellent, Maureen. Like I said, yeah, I'm a great note taker, so you might want to precept a couple of that, because you made some final statements. Take a look at what it says in the foundation of Genesis. Since you made that statement, let's see if the Bible backs up what you're saying that we can read. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. Let's see what we're working with there, Mother E. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16.
Genesis chapter 7, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, read. And they that went in, male and female, of all flesh, as Yahweh had commanded him, and the Yahweh shut him in.
And Yahweh shut him in. Now let's precept that to Matthew 25, and we'll pick it up at verse number 8 down to verse 13. Let's precept that, Mother. Matthew chapter 25, verse 8, down to verse 13. Let's see if we can precept what you just got through telling the national audience. By we found out that they went in male and female, and Yahweh shut them in. Let's find out a little bit more about that by going to Matthew 25 and pick up verse 8 down to verse number 13. Let's see if we tie that in, that mother. Matthew 25, verse 13.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 8 to 13. And the foolish said unto the wise, give up of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go to further to them that sell and buy for yourself. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Verse 11. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Yahweh, open to us. Verse 12. But he answered and said, truly, I say unto you, I know you not. Verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes.
Ain't that nice, Marie? Today's the day. See, the Bible is our answer. So, man, the same one set them out back there on the left side of the book. And that was Jack Wallace's song, going to set you out on the right side of the book. He's telling you, you don't know when he's coming. You better be ready because you're going to be set out. And this time, you're going to be set out in the back. You sit out in the water back here. But this time you'll be set out in the back. There it is. All right, excellent, Mother E. And we're going to see if we can get the third mother out of Camp 1. And we're going to bring her in and see exactly what the Almighty put on her. So when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother D.F. Israel, C. Roy, tribe of Yahdah, Judah. And she heard both of the other two mothers get ready in that microphone and tell the national audience what they think according to what Yahweh gave them. Now it's your turn. Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of Yahdah, Judah. Yahweh be to that seed ready.
Yahweh bless you, seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now you hear what the mother said. Tell them, listen, stop dragging your feet. Watch yourself. Because you don't know what hour this man going to come, and they started putting it off to the side. They lying all over the place. So now, get in that microphone. Let's hear what you got to tell this national audience. You on the clock. Come on.
Well, I want to tell the national audience and to the voices of the true Israelite family, tribe Yahdah Judah, and encourage each other. I want to read Joshua polluted for Hosea, chapter 1, starting at verse 7. And it reads, only be thou strong and very courageous, that you might observe to do according to all the Torah instruction which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever you goest. Verse 8. This book of the Torah instruction shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosper, and then you shall have good success. verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for Yahweh, your Yahweh, is with you whithersoever you goest. I want to read verse 18. Whosoever he or she be that do rebel against your Torah instruction and will not hearken, listen unto your words and all that thou commandest them, he or she shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And I want to go to Isaiah 59. I'm going to start at verse 19. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his honor from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him. Verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Yahdah Judah, and unto them that turn from transgression sins in Israel, says Yahweh. Verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed, says Yahweh, from henceforth and forevermore. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Let me get a precept on that, Mother D.F. Israel, in Psalms 1:1 down in verse 3. Let me see if I piggyback and get a precept out of that. Psalm chapter 1:1 down to verse 3. How about a precept there, Mother D.F. Israel?
Psalm 111?
No, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. Psalm chapter 1. Let me get that. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, verse 1 reads, blessed is the man, a woman, that walketh not in the counsel of the unyahwali, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight, or her delight, is in the Torah instructions of Yahweh. And in his Torah instruction, do he or she meditate day and night. Verse 3. And he or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth their fruit in their season. Their leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he or she doeth shall prosper.
Mm-hmm. So you see, it's always a precept thing. So the bottom line is, once you follow what the man got on the table, we own something. And the man is see one thing. He said, yeah, well, I'm going to intervene, but we should get on something. Be able to tell the peoples what to get on and that they can reach together. Now I'm going to read one more historical document. You can come back and get a verse, one more verse out of Mother Eve. You're going to know the historical document's fact that you can read over there in the history of the London. It's in London, the history in the museum in the London, over in London, the UK. It's right there for you. They said DNA studies in London, in the museum in London, and in the university. DNA are studies by the nature of man's, the first man's of Britain and Ireland. The first modern man's of Britain and Irish was dark-skinned, black, and woolly hair. Afterwards, the white came afterwards. This is in a museum. The original peoples of Great Britain and Ireland, the Irish peoples, was dark-skinned, black-skinned, woolly-haired peoples. That was the peoples over there in Europe first. And you can go on your computer and look into the British Museum. They'll tell you the first modern peoples of Britain and Irish, the Irish peoples, was dark-skinned with woolly hair. See that? So don't be so quick to holler with them as Europeans, because but then you gonna say what Europeans? Because the first Europeans, according to their own right, was dark-skinned, woolly-haired peoples that was there first, and they got pushed up out of the land. Now you got to know people there. So we'll leave that right there, and we'll get us one verse out of Mother Eve, and we'll get a closing statement. So we saying, see right here, we got to now do a little more study here. Because see, the reason why we don't really care about ourselves, because we've been taught that everybody else has done something and we ain't done nothing. But the scientists, they saying they got to come clean, all the scientists. The first peoples over there in Europe was dark-skinned and woolly hair. And in the British Museum, they got all the evidence waiting on it. So we're going to leave that like it is, and we're going to catch Mother Eve and give us a closing statement by looking at what it says in Psalms 19, verse number 7 and 8, and the closing statement. We're going to find you there, Mother Eve, and we're going to look at Psalm chapter 19, and we'll look at verse 7 and 8 and get a closing statement. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7 and 8, and a closing statement there, Mother Eve, even the clock come out.
The book of Psalms chapter 19. Verse 7 and verse 8. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. The Torah instructions of the Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8. The statutes of the Yahweh are righteous, rejoicing the mind. The commandments of the Yahweh is true, enlighten the eyes.
Yeah, lighten the eyes. So you're in that covenant, you're doing what the man's saying, it'll lighten your eyes. Mother E, asking again. Mother Z, asking again. Close the statement, Mother E, you on the clock, come on.
I'm reading Proverbs chapter 13, verses 13 to 15. Verse 13. Whoso despises word shall be destroyed, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. Verse 14. The Torah instruction of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Verse 15. Good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard.
Hallelujah. Now, Mother E, up Israel, look at Psalms chapter 48 through 11 and close the statement. Let's see what it says in Psalms chapter 40, verse 8 down to verse 11 in a closing statement. We catch you all on tomorrow night at 6 o'clock for some other B-O-T-T-Y. What does it say there in Psalm 48 down to verse 11? Come on.
Psalm chapter 40, verse 8 to 11.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
Psalm
yes,
40,
ma'am.
Verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my Yahweh. Yea, your Torah instruction is within my mind. Verses 9. I have taught righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Yahweh, thou knowest. Verse 10, I have not hid your righteousness within my mind. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation.
Excellent. Close family and mother dear, and hearing your part. It's all about one thing. You got to keep the records. The records to keep the Torah instructions. We don't know when he's coming back, but one thing about it, at least find yourself doing the Torah instructions when he show back up. He's going to come. Mother dear of Israel, what's your closing statement here? You on the clock. Come on.
Proverbs chapter 27. I want to read verse 1 and verse 20. Verse 1, yourselves of tomorrow, for you knowest not what a day may bring forth. Verse 20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's Mother E, Mother Z, Mother D of Israel, the mother out of Kavan. One thing we try to tell you is Israel. We tell you what the Bible's saying. Obey the Bible. Do it.
After that good doctor is gone, there'll never be another black Messiah unless we create him.
Well, you say what you want to say there, WCC. But one thing we do know, one thing. That we gonna inform our people to do one thing. Take another look at the Bible. And it's gonna tell you exactly what to do, when to do it. The Bible.
After that good doctor is gone, there'll never be another black Messiah unless we create him.
Well, you keep saying that, but we're not worried about that.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. And your refusal has cost all of us.
All right, again. All right, Moses, the most, and the teachers and all is on the network, the fixing on the cap, Yahweh be with you all, and we'll catch you all by saying, shalom, shalom. Catch you all.
Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom.